We are free at last.
Tonight, we're closer than ever to the rise of the Middle East that is finally free at last from Iranian terror, aggression, and nuclear blackmail. That's what's happened. It was nuclear blackmail for years and years. And beyond that, there was blackmail, period. Under my leadership, America is ending the threat posed by this radical regime, decimating Iran's capabilities with Operation Epic Fury, something that nobody's ever seen anything quite like it. We have the most powerful military in the world by far.
Man, I really wish you would stop saying that last part, especially more on that in just a second. But let's take a look at what he said, first of all, that we are closer than ever to having a free Middle East. And man, I mean, in what universe can you even come close to making that claim? There have been the whole region is embroiled in a war right now. This is definitely not just the U.S. Iran. This is a regional conflict that is burning up the whole thing. And in fact, it expanded overnight by the addition of the Houthis. I did a show earlier today where I talked a lot about the Houthis, Hezbollah, and the Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq. The Lebanese Hezbollah and the Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq have all joined this. Recommend you go in and watch that video to see the latest tactical developments here. But the bottom line is this place is expanding. Missiles are flying all over the Middle East. Assets are getting hit in Iran, in Israel, in the UAE, in Saudi Arabia. American forces have been hit. American aircraft on a tarmac have been destroyed. This thing is just going out of control. And of course, the Strait of the Hormuz stays closed and firmly in control of the Iranian side. Ergo, we are not close to ending anything. So the only thing that matters is, have you brought the Iranian side to heel? Have you forced their government into negotiations? And they're exactly the opposite. And they're more bold and more audacious than ever before, more defiant than they have been at any point. And of course, can you force them militarily to open that strait? And the answer is definitely no. And we're going to see why that's even additionally in a problem. But, you know, he goes again to this justification to try and say that we're, you know, nearly free at last, when the whole region and everybody sees with their own eyes that it has never been more fraught. Not in my lifetime. The region has, I mean, I guess you'd really have to go back to the 1973 Israeli and Arab war. I think that's the last time that it was, you know, in a flame like this. Not since that time. That has really been that. This is that serious. And we are almost certainly at the beginning of something whose duration that nobody can predict. I can't predict it. And there's no evidence that any side is doing anything but digging in its heels. So we can expect this to go a lot longer. But the justification he gives, that Iran was doing nuclear blackmail, and only my leadership into that. What nuclear blackmail? And again, this is something that's self-evident. Everyone, nearly everyone listening to this, other than those just diehard Trump supporters, understand there was no nuclear program. You allegedly obliterated it last year in Senate testimony just a few days ago. This past week, Tulsi Gabbard admitted that there had been, the facilities had been obliterated in 2025. It had not been rebuilt. Ergo, there's not even the possibility up to that point that they had a nuclear program, much less one that's imminent, meaning that none of the words that he said there were accurate at all. There has been no nuclear blackmail. To the contrary, they have been bending over backwards and doing backwards somersaults to try to find a diplomatic way to prove to everyone that they have no nuclear weapons. They have no plans to have a nuclear program. And they were happy to demonstrate that, to the extent that on the 26th of February, they put on the table a zero enrichment with significant external observers to be able to validate that, so that everyone could see they had no nuclear weapons. That cannot be twisted in any way, shape, or form into nuclear blackmail. And then the last thing he said there at that last pips is that we are the most powerful military in the history. If we're that powerful, then we don't need any allies. And of course, we also should be able to wrap this up quickly. And the fact that now on day 29, and now we're just, you know, tomorrow will be the one full month mark. Nothing's even close to being wrapped up. The missiles keep flying from Iran. Defiant statements keep coming from Iran. Their regional allies are expanding. The attacks are going in all over the place. We're running out of interceptor missiles. We're running out of THAAD, high altitude missiles. We're running out of offensive missiles, cruise missiles. And we have hit like 10,000 targets as of 5 days. I don't know what the number is now, 10, 11, 12,000. Who knows what it is today? We keep blowing stuff up on the surface, but that doesn't get into any of those mountain, these military missile cities that we keep showing you. So as powerful as we are showing the limits of that power. And that's not giving anybody confidence in either our military capacity or in our leadership. But he went on to say something else. Speaking of, you know, our allies, he claims on the one hand, we're the most powerful military ever. But then on the other hand, he's kind of annoyed that our allies in NATO haven't joined in the game.
I think that NATO made a terrible mistake when they wouldn't send a small amount of military armament, when they wouldn't send just even acknowledge what we were doing for the world and taking on Iran. I never considered it very risky, but war is always risk. You know, a lot of strange things happen in war that are very bad, but I didn't consider it. I know how great we're the greatest military by far anywhere. There was nobody close. I didn't think there was a big risk, but there's always surprises with war. They can be very bad surprises. I mean, wars are lost. It should be won. Many wars are lost. You think a country is going to wipe somebody out and they end up getting wiped out themselves. So it's always risky. But I think a tremendous mistake was when NATO just wasn't there.
You know, it's really odd there that he, again, reiterates the strongest military power, et cetera, and that I didn't think the risk was that big. And then he actually acknowledges that, but sometimes in war, you can have surprises. And then he even further acknowledges sometimes a power that seems like it should dominate the other side ends up losing. So somewhere in his cognitive analysis center, there is the realization that wars can go bad and that sometimes even great military powers can end up losing. And obviously we've seen that in our own recent experience with Vietnam, with the Afghanistan war, and to an extent, even the Iraq war. And it just persists on to this day that the bigger military power didn't win. And even though I argue that the Russia-Ukraine war is effectively already won by the Russian side because they have the wherewithal and the means to continue to go forth, even if it takes a number of years further, they can literally just wear out the other side, and the other side can't do anything about it. But even that one, this substantially greater military power on the surface, after 4+ years now, has not been able to military conquer, at least up to this point, the Iranian side, because the smaller power can show with sheer tenacity and force of will that it can fight on even when the spreadsheet says that it shouldn't. And so now here we are. And of course, I have been arguing since before that this spreadsheet showed that this nothing has happened so far has been a surprise to me at all, nor many of the experts that we have on our channel. So it troubles me that it is a surprise to him that he actually thought that there was no risk that our great military power would win, because everything that we've seen so far is exactly what we called before all this, and it doesn't take any special ability on our part. I mean, this stuff was out there. They were making the statements. It had been demonstrated in recent times. So it just wasn't hard. You just have to acknowledge reality, and that's what the administration seems either unable or unwilling to do. And now then we, of course, are on the cusp of potentially expanding this war on the ground and making a bad situation profoundly worse. God help us if we go down that path. So far, nothing happened overnight. There is still somewhere around 10,000 total forces or ground forces on the ground right now in the region. Some of those were allegedly hit yesterday, but you've got Marines, you've got airborne troops, you've got Army Special Forces, somewhere around 10,000 altogether. We've got another alert for an additional 10,000, which could be there within 3 to 4 weeks, et cetera. So hopefully we're not going to do something really stupid, but that's where we are right now. In fact, speaking of 3 to 4 weeks, there was a statement made by the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who also said, you know what, I think that even though the other side is weaker, but we're definitely stronger. But here's the thing, we're going to have this wrapped up in, 2 or 3 weeks.
Iran was already weak. When we are done with them here in the next couple weeks, they will be weaker than they've been in recent history, and they will not be able to hide behind those weapons to break out and get a nuclear weapon, which would be crazy. For these people to ever get nuclear weapons would be crazy. Look what they're willing to do with the weapons they have now. They hit embassies, they target hotels, they try to kill civilians, they splash out at all their neighbors. Imagine if these radical lunatics had a nuclear weapon to threaten the world with.
So do I understand correctly that Secretary Rubio is saying there that it is a radical, religious radical that would hit embassies? That's what he specified, in that that's what they have done. They have hit some embassies the Iranian side has. If that sounds familiar to you, you may be thinking in the back of your head, seems like somebody else hit an embassy. Oh, yeah. It was the Israeli side that destroyed an embassy, an Iranian embassy in Syria. I think it was in 2023. They said that there was a high-value target in there, and I don't care about convention or anything else. They destroyed the building. They didn't just hit it. They destroyed an entire building because they wanted to, and we were as solid as the grave on that. Didn't say a word about it. Didn't condemn anybody. Literally just whistled past the graveyard. Didn't say a thing about it. And now we're citing that same category as being an example of a radical religious fanatic. That's what he wants to say there. And look, you know, you can say all day long that, you know, they were weak before. That's the stupid thing to say, if I can just be blunt about it. Recall that in January, that's what the narrative was, that we were saying the Iranian side is so weak. They've never been weaker in all 47 years of their life. And this is the time to go in. The protesters are rising up. The economy is falling down. They're rickety. All it's going to take is a few missiles here. And if you get lucky and decapitate them from the first strike, this thing could be over quickly. That's what we said. And we went in there with the military. We went in there with the missiles. We did kill and assassinate their supreme leader from the first shot. And what happened? Well, what happened is exactly what they said would happen. He was replaced. The other people who weren't killed continued to go on. The military plan they had with the decentralized operations and their military, in the absence of orders, leapt into action just exactly like they said it would happen. It did. They got them replaced like they said they would, and they've continued to prosecute the war as they said they would. And now then, they have shown that they were not as weak as we thought, as we claimed. Actually, I don't know that anybody ever thought that. But now here he's literally drawing out that same thing again and saying, yeah, now then they're even weaker than they were. And so now probably 3 more weeks is going to be all it's going to take, and we're going to knock these guys out. Now, do I have to remind the secretary again that Iran has shown that they have sucked down all kinds of suffering and privation in the 8-year war that they had with Iraq that we helped facilitate there to try to destroy them then? And it didn't work when they were significantly less powerful than they are today, when they had significantly less weapons and capabilities than they have today. And why do you think that they're going to suddenly fall apart now? And in a few weeks? I mean, again, I circle you back to our show that we did earlier today when I talk about the missile inventories. Friend, we don't have 3 or so more weeks to just continue on at the same rate of fire that we have so far with our PAC-3 interceptors, the Arrow 2 and 3 interceptors for Israel, our THAAD interceptors, the high-altitude ones. Our Tomahawk missile inventory is getting dangerously low already. We can't keep going like this. We can't. The price of oil is now over $100 a barrel, almost certainly going to go up, especially with the Houthis entering this weekend. I bet when the markets open up on Monday, that probably is going to jump again, maybe to around 120. I think it was at 111 or something like that at the close yesterday of Brent. And that could pop up around to 120 when it opens up on Monday, especially if anything else happens over this weekend. So that's one ticking clock. You've got some of this, the natural gas it's getting out, of course, is having fertilizer issues, and that's going to start having genuine global agricultural problems just with producing food to eat. You have the issue with the highly counterintuitive situation with chip making in Taiwan, which of course is the world's biggest supplier of chips that everything in our high tech world runs on, especially in the modern world. They need the feedstocks of natural gas that they were getting a lot from Qatar and some of the other products like helium, whatever, to physically make these things. They're in a crisis in about 2 or 3 weeks as well. So yeah, we need to end this war in 2 or 3 weeks, but he didn't even lay out a possibility. He didn't say anything about how this could militarily come to an end in 2 or 3 weeks according to terms that he would like to have. Didn't even proffer any, didn't even offer any. What after 29 days that you have not brought anyone to heal, and they're actually, now their allies are expanding, how do you think that in 3 more weeks that suddenly it's just going to be over when you can't force open the Strait of Hormuz? Nobody from NATO is coming to help. You see what I'm saying? This is detached from reality. And yet they're going forward with confidence. But listen, this is going to come to an end somewhere, like in the near term, not like 6 months from now, maybe 1 month from now, because a lot of these compounding problems are going to start to manifest in ways that can't quickly be solved. And you obviously have, even in domestic, the nearer term issue with the rising cost of oil means the rising cost of gasoline, the rising cost of diesel, ergo the rising cost of everything. And that's not going to make anybody in America happy, and they're going to make their displeasure known. And President Trump is going to continue to bleed support. And that's going to cause him problems on anything else he wants to do domestically. So there are pressures coming from everywhere. And these kinds of statements that he and the Secretary of State and the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, a few days ago, they made, those things aren't going to fly anymore, folks. They're just not going to, because you can be confident and optimistic all day long, but when pain starts to result and people with their own eyes can see that you're nothing of the sort that you're describing is happening, people are going to start making their displeasure known.